And I really want to thank mom and dad, you know. Where would we be if God didn't place them in our lives? Amen. It's really an amazing thing what they have done with us. Amen. You all should have seen me before Revival Fire. Awesome. So this morning, I'm going to talk about, oh, by the way, for those who don't know, Dad is in Nicaragua. He will be coming back tomorrow. Right? How many of you are excited for Dad? Right? I'll tell him half of you all said amen. Right? So my last message I preached, I think it was week before last, I spoke on the supernatural shift. And I was actually speaking about the mindsets, our mindsets, and basically how our brain works for part of the message. And I was saying that our minds are comprised of the conscious and the subconscious, right? I'm not sure if many of you can remember what I was speaking about, right? But our conscious mind only makes up 10% of our brain activities, whereas our subconscious activities make up the rest of the 90%, right? And I was saying, it is very possible for you to have a belief system or a value system in your conscious while there's a very different value system taking place or a belief system taking place in your subconscious, right? And I give the perfect example of preparing for an exam, right? I will study hard, I will repeat mock exams, and I think I'm ready. In my conscious mind, I'm ready. But the moment I step into that exam room, my hands begin to shake, right? My mind begins to waver. I see everyone around me writing, and then my mind becomes blank. And all of a sudden, an exam that I really prepared for, I failed, right? I don't know about you, but has that happened to anyone else here before? Right. So, and it really goes to say the subconscious, I was really not mentally prepared, right? I can give you many more examples, right? But it goes to show that unless you analyze and examine yourself, you may be carrying a belief system very contrary to what you really believe, right? In your conscious mind. So, in church, we go around and we say, yes, Lord, I am blessed. How many of y'all, I hope you all say that, right? Right, I am blessed, but in my mind is like, I really blessed? Look at all these things going around. In my subconscious is going on, right? Look at all these things going around. How could I be blessed? Right? I am wealthy. You're speaking the affirmation, right? I am wealthy, but in my mind, like, I don't have $5 for tomorrow. In my subconscious, that is going on, right? So, what do we really believe? Right? And that is why you see people coming here on church. Well, not in our church, but church generally. That's why you would see people coming. They get on a spiritual high. They feel the anointing. They get on a spiritual high. And they go back out the same way. Because their belief system never really changed. Right? I could speak an affirmation. But unless I don't believe those words of affirmation, it does no good to me. Right? And last time when I spoke, I feel I should preach over this message, boy. Right? Last time when I spoke, I said we really need to examine ourselves and really begin to change our subconscious belief systems, right? So that we could conform to the mind of Christ. We, in our minds, have limited and put God in a box, right? To what God could give us, to what he can do for us. Do you know the scripture says he wants to give you exceeding abundantly? Do you know the scripture says that? Right? He does not just want to supply you with your needs. He wants to give you more. There are people here praying for apartment to rent, but God wants to give you the house. There are people praying for safe transportation to reach a church, but God wants to give you a vehicle. Right? There are people here who are praying for a job or praying for a promotion, but God wants to give you the company. Right? How many of you all hear what I'm saying this morning? Yeah. Amen. But unless we change our belief system, how would it happen? The Bible says a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, right? Could that be our subconscious belief system, our heart? Could it be, right? Think about it. Right now, your heart, your subconscious mind is regulating your heart, the timing of your heartbeat, right? Your rate of breath, right? I mean, you're thinking about it now because I'm speaking about it, right? But subconsciously all along, If I were to tell every one of you, begin to breathe faster, and your heart begins to pump, right? And I tell you stop, and I begin to talk about something else, eventually your subconscious mind would have went back and shifted the breathing pattern and the heart pattern back to what is normal, right? That's how your subconscious mind works, right? So the only way people can really see change is if it happens in your subconscious, right? You all following me so far? So this morning, I'm going to take that message to a different level this morning. I was very resistant, hesitant in speaking about it, but God told me to speak about it, so I'm listening to God this morning. This morning, I want to talk about conform or reform, right? And it's a really powerful message if you really take it on this morning, because it goes back to the subconscious again, and it says, what have we been taught coming up from a child, right? This morning, I want to tell everyone that your mind has actually been, I don't want to say programmed, but has been conditioned to conform to society's norms and values. Right? Everybody agree with me there? Right. So as a child, you would grow up, they would tell you, do this or don't do that. Right? As a child. And when you went to school, right, there was a level of expectation placed on you to behave in a certain way. And if you didn't behave in that certain way, you were considered weird. Right? Correct? How many of y'all know weird people in school? They're different. No, really and truly, they are not weird. They just conform to a different belief system than most people do. Right? So the words are a little small, right? But I was saying here, since you were born, your mind has been conditioned to conform, to the social norms of society's moral expectations and beliefs. Right? So throughout life, someone who had this mindset of what society should be like, you were conditioned to be like that. Perfect example of conditioning is Hollywood, right? Put on your TV, this is what I should look like. This is what happiness should feel like. This is what I should do, right? Next one is fashion, right? Next big area is fashion. If I don't keep up with what people doing now, I will be outdated. People will look at me differently if I don't dress like how others are dressing, right? Another area is in music. How many people used to listen to music from the 60s, right? We still have a few, right? But generally, or I should ask the younger generation, right? Max, the people under 30 here. How many of you are listening to music from the 60s? 30 Melina. Right? You listen to music from the 60s? All right. Right? Most people today, they try to keep up with the music, right? So, because it's a trend, right? And everyone's trying to get in on what's new, right? Follow me so far, right? So social norms, we try to conform to social norms, right? Social norms are rules that a group uses for appropriate and inappropriate values, beliefs, attitude, and behaviors, right? So I remember in school, the peer pressure was so strong, right, that you had to conform. Anything other than conform, people would just watch you and laugh at you. And I know a lot of people in school would just do things so people just wouldn't laugh at them, right? So your social norms really molded you. The social norms of the time really molded you into this type of person you were becoming, right? And then we move into culture, right? Now, every environment has a different culture, right? So what is culture? Culture is a complex whole which includes the knowledge, belief, art, morals, law, custom, and any other capabilities and habits acquired by man as a member of society, right? So anybody could tell me here what the values of Revival Fire are? Right. So hand value, sorry, passion, integrity, love. Correct. Right? Oh, you could use lip to remember. Love, integrity, passion, right? For those who can't, right? But every environment has a different culture. Because our values here is love, integrity, and passion, you will see that streaming out from all our leaders, all our workers, because we actually emphasize on it, right? We preach it, we live it, right? If there is a person here that does not move in love, come and tell me. I would love to deal with them, right? So even on my workplace, we have a different set of value system, right? We have values like we respect the individual, we lead by example, we work together, right? We are committed to our communities, right? We are open and honest in our communication, right? And most of all, we act with integrity. Those are the values of my company, right? And I know them by heart because we have to live them, right? But the values create your culture. Let me ask you a question this morning. What are your values? What is the culture that is creating around you? Just a thought, just a thought to think about, to ponder on, right? A lot of people are going through circumstances and situations, not because of the devil, not because of people saying or doing things, but they have a wrong value system, right? I'll tell you something, and I'll give you a good example. I know a person, they're praying for healing, but they don't talk to their sister. How could I have a value system that believes in on forgiveness and you're praying for healing? It just don't add up, right? The reason why you're sick in the first place is because you're holding unforgiveness in your heart. If you forgive your sister, I guarantee you, you'll be healed, right? You all watching me serious this morning? You all following me? Right? Don't stone me this morning, right? Just trying to share God's word. So I have some examples of what the world has placed in us that has kept us in a box from since our birth, right? And I really believe that God really wants to break us out of this box and really fulfill our purpose and destiny, right? How many of y'all believe you're called to live in the supernatural, right? I'm not hearing much amens to that.
Amen.
Amen. You see, and I'm making this statement, right? If you because it's a saying, you believe you're called to live in the supernatural. I would say that statement because a lot of people believe they're living in the natural. You all following me? Right. I was actually supposed to say, how many of y'all believe that the natural is nothing? You're custom living in the supernatural. That's supposed to be your daily routine, right? So what is this supernatural life is all about? But before we go into that, I want to go into what is in the natural. These are some of the principles taught. There are many. I just pull out a few, right? You have one life to live, right? That is what society, you know, there are many different religious beliefs that you'll come back as an animal or different things, but general society will teach you have one life to live, right? You are taught to survive. Many people are never taught to prosper, but they're always taught to survive. I heard somebody say, I live month to month. How many of y'all could touch base with that? They live month to month. They taught to survive, right? They function within the framework and the boundaries created for you, right? So whatever laws and regulations people place in your life, right? You function within those means. Many of us don't even question them, right? You are limited to the resources that you possess. So my salary, this is saying my salary is my only avenue of income. I'm just trying to break it down for you, right? This is what the natural laws are saying. Right, I am learned from young to accumulate wealth. Right, save as much as I can, build my kingdom. There is nothing I can do about death. I just have to accept it. Right, we are taught to put me first. Right, in fact, everything in society actually focuses on me, and there's actually a big marketing thing on it because if I focus on me, I always want to do my nails, I always want to do my hair, I always want to get the best haircut, I always want to do this, I always want to do that. Right, buy this, buy that, to focus on me. Right. So actually society has been using it to actually make money out of you, right? You must operate within the laws of physics, time, and space, right? So we have to operate within gravity and motion and stuff like that, right? Right, now going back to debt again, debt is the end. And society has taught us to receive and not really to give, right? How many of y'all, you all following what I'm saying here so far? Make sense, right? So these natural laws, right, were never really meant for us. Right? And because we try to conform, we can never fulfill God's purpose in your life. Life will take the supernatural power of God to fulfill it. Right? You cannot fulfill God's purpose through natural means. Let me say that again. You cannot fulfill the purpose of God in your life through natural means. It will take a supernatural intervention. Now, wait there yet. Right? Now, what is the supernatural? We're always talking about the supernatural. What is the supernatural? I could use words as no limit, beyond thought or reason could explain, right? And I love the fact that there are a lot of comic book movies coming out now, right? I'm a real movie fan. Right? Right. See, no matter what, I don't have some supporters in the corner there, right? But it actually shows you what the supernatural can do, right? In fact, If I were to tell you about Superman, and I'll just give you a good example, the story of Superman was actually written by two Jews, right? And all the superpowers that Superman have, they would actually have pulled it out from the Old Testament, right? So when Elisha went up in the chariot in the air, that was like flying and that sort of thing, right? So, and that is how they get the name for Kal-El for Superman, right? Because it's two Jews who write the story, right? So that's a good example, just to talk about the supernatural a little bit, right? But it means going beyond your own means and resources, right? It means something that in my natural, I could never do. In the story of Adam and Eve in the garden, they were never living in the natural, you know. God always provided for them. Right? Supernaturally, God met every need for them. Adam was basically ruler of the world. Right? And today, God has been calling you to have dominion over your sphere of influence. The real question is, are we? Right? So these are some examples of what the supernatural can do in your life. Right? Now, some of these are principles of kingdom thinking, of the supernatural thinking. And they are principles, again, examples of what the supernatural can do. So the supernatural actually put God first, right? So the natural talks about living in self, focus on me. The supernatural talks about put God first. Now, you will notice a trend here. Everything that focuses on the natural, God actually reverses it for the supernatural, right? The natural self speaks about saving up all the money and build your kingdom for yourself here on earth. The supernatural talks about storing treasure for yourself in heaven, right? And I have the verses, the scriptures there next to it so that you could see, right? Again, the natural speaks about focus on me, right? The supernatural says take no thought for yourself. The natural speaks about let me mind my business and focus on me and my family and build that. The supernatural says preach the gospel, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. The supernatural also talks about dying to self, right? Notice how much the emphasis here is now is not on you anymore, but it's on God, right? So the natural speaks about surviving and trying to make and meet ends meet. The supernatural speaks about provision for every circumstance. And I love the example here. Because Jesus is in a situation where he has a multitude in front of him and just have 5 loaves and 3 fishes. Right? And he just blessed the meal. Pardon? No, I'm good. He just blessed the meal and the meal was multiplied. My question is, how many of you all believe that God could do it today? That is just a story. If God had changed me before like this now, believe me, I would have saved a lot of my wedding. Right? Because I have to learn to live in the supernatural. When we think about how much our mindsets have been corrupted by the natural. Think about how much. Every day I'm thinking about how much money I have to spend on this, food, gas, children. If I have an event, I have to cater for so much people. The caterer is saying $350,000 for roti, right? Right? I don't mean it in any way. I'm just making a joke out of it, right? The caterers, the bill is so high, right? What are you going to do? Are you going to live in the natural? Are we going to really live in the natural? Or are we know that God is going to provide? You see, we always pray for God to just provide the money. But we don't know that he can multiply the food. He done do it, he did it before, he could do it again. Amen. You see, we don't put the power of God to the test. The only thing we know about the church is healing. If you're sick, reach in church. Right? But what about the other things that Jesus did? Amen. Right? So don't go and buy no expensive roti, right? Right? There's an emphasis in the body, in the supernatural, on giving. Right? Because that's God's heart. He wants us to give. Right? I look at people today, and you know, I mean, actions really say a lot, huh? Right? I would go to an event, and I would actually wait. I normally wait for everybody to eat and stuff first. I would go and take food. And then I would see people right after they eat, they're ready to look at the pack up food, right? And I'm not saying anything bad. I'm just saying, where's your mind? Is your mind really on giving or receiving? You see, if your mind is only on receiving, You will always be in a place of limitation. But if your heart is to give, you will always have. You know, and the perfect example of this is Dada, right? Apostle Brent. He has no stable job. You have a job. You have a guaranteed source of income at the end of the month. He doesn't. But he gives. He helps people. He gives them money in their hand. He drops them from A to B. He does all these things without knowing where the next cent will come from, right? And guess what? He's more blessed than you and I put together, right? Because it's the rule of the supernatural. He is living in the supernatural abundance. Amen? The question is, are we? With our needs, with our situation that we are going through, are we? There is no reason, right? There shouldn't be any single reason that every single person in this church should have a need. Every one of us, the word of God said, I will at least, the scripture says, at least I will meet your need. That's what the word of God says. That's what the word of, is either this Bible true or it's not truth? If it's not truth, walk out of here because I wasted my time, right? But it's time we lay hold to God's words and promises. Is either we walking in this thing or not? Society has taught us just so that your conscience will be fulfilled that, yeah, you go to church, but conform to society. We are not called to do that. We are called to be reformers. And that is what Jesus came to do. And these examples that I'm giving you here, they are really tremendous. When to die to self, that scripture, John 12:24, is an amazing scripture. Imagine someone came, and they came to Philip and Thomas, and they said they want to see Jesus. You know what Jesus told, watch them and tell them? He says, except a corn of wheat falls into the ground and die, it abides alone. Who would tell you, if you want to see someone, who would tell you something like that? Right? He says, except a corn of wheat falls into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. You are not seeing fruit in your life. Maybe because you have not died. Where is the much fruit? Dad put up a post on the Revival Family about yielding to the Holy Spirit. Where is the much fruit? Right? Next. Now, how many of you all believe this one? The dead can be raised. In this day and age, you believe you could do that? Every one of us has the anointing too. All of us are called to the supernatural. The sick is healed. Every one of you have the anointing to lay hand on somebody who is sick and tell them be healed in Jesus' name. Amen? That shouldn't be apostles' responsibility. That shouldn't be our responsibility. That is also your responsibility. God has called you to do it. Right? How about this one? So Jesus is walking on water. Right? Now, I know I might lose some of you all here. Right? The place is stormy. The disciples feel they're going to drown on the boat. Right? Jesus rebuked the weather, right? The scripture is up there, not speaking no lie, right? Jesus rebuked the weather, and the Bible said the place came calm, right? Have you all soaring and saying, Jesus' name, stop, and place, right? How many of you all ever seen that, right? I have too, right? God has given us power over the weather, right? So next time you see rain, don't look for your umbrella. Say, in Jesus' name, stop, right? And let God guide you. But hear the more impossible one that people can't believe. Jesus was walking on water. He defied the principle of gravity. And you know what? Peter did it too. Can our minds reach that place? That we could do that? Living in the supernatural? Right, so this is a place part with, I think people might want to stone, huh? Right? But this is what living in the supernatural is all about. And I was wondering myself when I was praying about it, I was asking God, what purpose could it have for Jesus to walk on water? What was the purpose of it? Because everything in scripture, he had a purpose to it. But maybe it was just to shake up the disciples' mind to say, you don't need to be on the boat. For too long, many of us have been in this comfort zone of our little boats. And we are not stepping out into what God has called you to do. It's time, people of God, that you step out. I thank God that you have that nice job, but he didn't call you for that. Step out. I thank God for the small business, but he didn't call you to have a small business. He called you to have a conglomerate. Step out. We limit ourselves, right? The sick is healed. We have authority over the weather. We can speak any language. On the day of Pentecost, right, what happened? They began to speak in other tongues, and everybody from their own language who came, they heard it. Correct? Right. So if you're tapping in spirit and you're tapping in tongues, right, you will be speaking a foreign language. Right? And I've actually known a preacher who done this. Right? He went in a tribe, I believe it was in Africa, and he didn't know what to say, and he just began to speak in tongues. And then the people started to respond back to him, and he started to get frightened. Right? But he actually began speaking in a native language, and they didn't understand. And they don't know how could he know that? Right? So through the Holy Spirit, you can actually speak in any language. So you don't need to go to French class anymore. Right? You are not bound by natural laws. Right? And I have a perfect example. Oh, sorry, can't be teleported. Right? How many of you all find plane tickets are expensive? Right? So in scripture, notice, living is supernatural now, right? Right? I don't know about you, but flights can be expensive and they can be long. Yeah. Right? But in scripture, the apostle Philip, right, was translated from one place to the next. Why can't it happen again? Why can't it happen again? But as soon as we have to reach another country, I have to get my visa, I have to go and buy my ticket, I have to save my money to buy my ticket, and our natural minds just goes and goes, and we forget about what God said. Do you see how your natural mind can just override before you can even start to think about the supernatural? Right? But wouldn't it be nice, just think about it, spend a few thoughts on it, wouldn't it be nice to reach London without spending, 7 hours in the air? Right, in first class. Wouldn't it be nice to reach Australia without spending 16 hours in the air? From here, I'm preaching here, I could just be in Australia the next moment and begin to preach again. Just think about it, without turbulence, without having to go through customs and immigration. I'm trying to get our minds to be, right? But this is what God has called us to do, to live in the supernatural, right? We are not bound by natural laws, right? And the biggest one, there is life after death. In fact, our life here is not really life at all. Real life starts in eternity, right? How much years do we have on earth? About 80, 100 for the most, right? Compare 100 years to eternity. That's not even a drop in the bucket, right? Our life here is nothing. We have real life to live in the next age. Now, I'll tell you something about the supernatural. Not only the Word of God speaks about it. There are people who have been able, through demonic means, to live in the supernatural and actually to perform their own quote-unquote miracles in the supernatural, right? But my point is, they are doing it and we are not. They are doing it through the wrong means and method. When they do like that, everybody knows Obia. Everybody knows some kind of witchcraft, right? You open the Express classifieds and bam, it's all there, right? If you love somebody, if you're in love and you want that person to take notice of you, call this number. Guaranteed. Right? Oh my God, come on. Right? If you know, I see so many things that I tell you, I really laugh when I see it. Right? But they are doing it. Some of these people are praying against you. Some of these people are praying against Christians. But here we are, living in society's norm and expectations, just trying to make ends meet. When are we going to live and step out into what God has called us to be? If I did not do anything this morning, one thing that I wanted to do was to challenge everyone to hold God according to His word. One thing that God never fails at is His word. Right? I believe, without a shadow of a doubt, that if you step out into God's word, you will begin to live in a realm that you have never experienced. Let me just give you a testimony. This week gone, I got in a car accident, right? My fault, I hit a guy from behind in moving traffic going to Port of Spain, right? The force that I hit him with, he shoot out in front and hit the guy in front. I thought the whole front of my van was mashed up, because the back of his car gone, right? I thought the front of my van gone. It was early morning, had my lights and stuff, right? I thought the whole front of my van gone, because the back of his car gone and the front of his car gone because he hit another vehicle in front. When I came out my van, and I watched Sue, but with the damage. I just saw a few scratch, not even a dent. The number plate bent underneath a little bit, right? The other guy who I hit, he watching me. He said, where the car gone? Where the car gone? He thinking somebody else bounced him and run off. To tell you the truth. And I had to tell him, boss, I bounce here. Where are we living at? What means are we living in? This 2 weeks ago, I got promoted again. Thank you. My fifth promotion in 2 years. Fifth promotion in 2 years. Skipped twice, went up one level this time, right? Isn't that supernatural? That has never been heard of in my company before, right? Where are we living in? What realm are we living in? That has challenged the pastoral team, and I want to challenge every one of us this morning. Step out into the supernatural. Anything is possible. And I know I said some crazy things about walking on water, right? And about commanding the weather and stuff. But that's what God has called us to do. He never taught us to live in the natural means. I mean, Declan, how much money you would save if you didn't have to take a plane ticket? Right? But it's possible. Do you know the scripture says, only believe? There is only one requirement for any miracle you want this morning. He says, only believe. Do you really believe this morning that God can do it for you? Subconsciously in your heart. I saw a woman in my early days when I was serving. I saw a woman, she was bedridden, had cancer. They said within about 2 days she was going to die. We had a service by Pastor Vernon Duncan back in those days. And the other guest minister from Canada come. They brought the lady on a stretcher. She was bedridden. Right, they brought her on a stretcher, right? Because she wanted to come, she believed. That woman went out of service running. She ran around the church 3 times, right? And then went down the stairs running. Bedridden, supposed to die in 2 days, right? I've seen people overweight run around, and by the fifth time they run around, they lose all the weight. I've seen people without teeth get gold filling in their mouth. Without teeth in their mouth, by the end of the service, they get gold filling in their mouth. I've seen diamonds fall when service is going on. Which realm are we living in, people of God? Where are we at? For too long, we have been living in the natural. For too long. God has never wanted us to go through what we are going through today. Never dreamt that we would have to face all these challenges, spend all this money over medication, over taking care of ourselves. Never wanted us to go through the stress that we are going through today. Never planned for it. Has always planned for us to live in the supernatural. Now, I haven't gone through Old Testament miracles yet. I'm just speaking up from the New Testament alone. But it's possible to those who believe. Amen? Next slide. So, I spoke a little bit on it already. How do we live in the supernatural? Right? How do we live in the supernatural? The first thing we do, we have to die. It's not about us. So even though we want to go, we will go all over the world and don't have to fly on the plane, right? It's really not about us, right? And again, the scripture says that except a cord of wheat fall into the ground and die, it dies alone. But if it dies, it bringeth forth much fruit, right? Your much fruit will take place when you begin to die. Renew your mind. I really feel in the spirit that many of us need to really renew our mind, right? The scripture goes on to say, but be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of mind. So it spoke about the confirmation that we are conforming to this world, right? How do we renew our minds? By the word of God, by spending time in his presence, right? He changes us. Next point is yield to the Holy Spirit. No one can really tell you how to yield. It's really a giving up of yourself to him, right? But give yourself to God. And let him work with you. You know, we could always try to build our own destinies and build our own purpose, but we could only build it so much. If you give yourself to God as a potter, as he is a potter and you are the clay, he will begin to mold you and make you into something you would never thought or imagine you could be, right? I tell you, 5 years ago, I could never imagine what I was doing here this morning. Just a few years ago, never thought I could own a new vehicle. Never thought I would get married. Never thought to see what God would be doing now. Yield to the Holy Spirit. Act in faith.
right? Without works, your faith is dead. You can't just believe, you know. I could sit down here and I could believe I will get that job, just saying. But unless I don't go out to the interview, what's going to happen, right? I have to act in faith. So when you see that dead body in the funeral, go and lay your hands on the dead body and say, in Jesus' name, arise, right? And then we go see TV 6 and CNC 3 come down the road and they could tell them Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Amen? That is how we do it. Dad always talk about when he does crusades. And he said, when he goes into a crusade, he don't go and preach first. You know? He's called up all those who sick first and pray for them and see them get healed. And when they see, they believe. And then he preach. And then they all come for prayer. Right? We're doing this thing wrong. You want people to come out to a crusade. They're not going to come out to a crusade now. You have to go and show them the power of Christ wherever they are. Whether it be on the job, in some meeting, wherever. Show them, demonstrate the power of God to them. Show them that you are a vessel of the child of God. Amen? And last but not least, give God the glory. It's His will. It's His work, not us. Right? Trust Him. He will do it. Amen? This morning, there are many other people living in this realm, not in a godly way. Do you know in witchcraft that teleportation is a normal thing? Do you know in witchcraft flying is a normal thing? Do you know in witchcraft manipulation is a normal thing? Right? But if I mention scriptures and I show it through the scripture that God wants you to live here, it could be a challenge for Christians to think about. So imagine the unsaved grasping this and the saved still trying to figure out if you should do this or not. One person who actually walked on water apparently was Chris Angel. You all know Chris Angel? Right. He actually walked across a pool. Right? But he did it through levitation. Right? Not the power of God. But it could be done with the power of God. The question is, are we living in His power? Are we living in that dimension? How would you feel if you go Las Cuevas? Oh, I love Las Cuevas Beach. Right? It's the best beach in Trinidad. Right? Right? How would you feel if you go Las Cuevas Beach? And while everybody's swimming, you're just walking and you're watching them. How would you feel? Isn't that a thought? And when they come down and they ask you, don't be like Peter and Singer. Right? It can't be like Peter and Singer. We have to do this if you go in, we have to go the whole way. Right? But when they come down and they ask you how you do this thing, you just say, through the supernatural power of God, of Jesus. Right? I'm not preaching this message just to make up time today. I'm not preaching this just to really have fun. I'm trying to challenge your minds. I'm trying to shift those minds that you have been taught as a child coming forward that you can't do this and you can't do that and you can't do the other. Right? I really want you to understand that the power of God really does exist. Right? I admire those people in CI. Those people in CI, they go to every witchcraft conference they have. Right? And they actually go and prophesy. Because, you know, in these conferences, these people tell you your future and stuff like that. Right? And they go, Christian CI people, right? They go into this witchcraft conference, tell them their future, prophesy to them, speak the word of God over their lives and get them saved. Right? Supernatural power of God. Can we do that? We could prophesy in church, and it's easy to prophesy in church. But can we act the work of God out there? On our jobs, when your co-worker giving you under some problem, under some situation, and you just tell them, you know, God says so and so and so. This week, God, I had 5 people come to me just for advice, just for help. And I was able to minister to them without shoving the gospel along the truth. Where is the supernatural power of God? Do you know it takes the supernatural power of God to love your enemy? If I were to ask you, how many of you all pray for your enemies? It takes the supernatural power of God. And you can't have the love of God if you can't love your enemies. It's easy to love our friends. It's easy to love our families. But it takes the supernatural power of God to love your enemies. It's time we live and function in the realm of the supernatural, people of God. Amen? I didn't come out here just to give you a message, but I really want to challenge you not to conform to society, but to be reformed in the supernatural power of God. Amen? Read your Bible, read your scriptures, look at what Jesus did. He didn't do it just as an example to us. He did it so that we could follow. The perfect example, when he walked on water, he told Peter, come. He told them, whoever wanted to come, come. Because he wanted them to live in that realm that he was living in. Peter was brave enough to step out of the boat. How many of us are brave enough this morning to step out? How many of us could really look beyond the waves, the storms, and say, you know what, God, I am walking towards you. Amen. Musicians. Let's just bow our hearts tonight, this morning. I waked all night last night, so I'm still in night zone. Can everyone just put their hands on them on their heads and just said, Lord, transform my mind into what you've called me to be. I am yours. Amen. Can I have the worship team up? Let's just worship him a little bit this morning. Shinarabayutarabasa.